The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Golfy with RE/MAX The Golfy Team. Welcome to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, with host Rick Zamperin.
Yeah, welcome once again to 900CHML. Another great weekend here. We have exciting action in the National Hockey League playoffs. We have the weather warming up a little bit. I don't know how much Phil and I are going to get into the Maple Leafs game for tonight, but we are going to talk about real estate. I can guarantee you that. And there are some interesting tidbits of info and topics to chew on, including vacant unit tax here in Hamilton, new bylaw coming very, very soon. We're going to tell you why a lot of Canadians, especially cottage owners, are super angry at the federal government, and we'll also get into some short-term rentals over in BC. They're really changing the game. But as we usually like to remind you, that if you want to sell your home or you are in the market to buy a house, call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada, which, lo and behold, is the Golfy team. 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. And for an instant home estimate, go online to golfyhomevalue.com. Lots to get to today, including a big-time event that you guys were involved in. But first and foremost, where is Rob today?
Yeah, he's on a, you know, what do you call it? He's on a trip.
Okay.
He's down in New York City. He meets with this group of people in regard to, you know, learning how to build your brand, how to build your business. And he's actually been with these guys for a while now. I believe they're called Radio and Television Experts is the group that he goes down and meets with them. And they're the ones who, you know, convinced us to hop on a radio show with you, Rick, and told us about the benefits of, you know, communicating to your audience and, you know, developing a brand that way. And so, you know, they believe in, you know, radio and having their own show, and, you know, having your own show and communicating to the audience. So he's down there right now and learning and keeping up with all the new stuff that radio and TV has to offer for real estate agents. So he likes to go to these things. So we call it, he's on assignment. That's the word I was looking for. He's out on assignment and he's doing that. So I'm taking over the show today and happy to be back. Happy to be back in the hot seat with you.
Nice. And you know what? Being on assignment or going to these kind of meetings, conventions, seminars, it's all about gaining knowledge, right? Which at the end of the day is going to help you at perform at your highest.
Bingo. That's what it's on. That's what it's about. It's about, you know, staying up to date on new industry trends. It's about learning new things. And, you know, I recommend it for any single person who wants to do better in their business or do better in what they're doing. And, you know, in terms of expectations, it's, you know, we're not always going down there to change our entire business. We're just looking for one little nugget on something that we can apply that, you know, something that we can apply to what we're already doing. And oftentimes it's, you know, it might not even be from the conference, but it might be in a, you know, a stop and chat conversation with someone outside the conference, or whether it's going, you know, for a drink or going for dinner after the conference. And, you know, and I've been on a lot of them and going to a lot of these, you know, different real estate conferences. And that's what, you know, where we learn the most is sometimes it's not, you know, directly in the conference or what they're, you know, promoting, but it's learning from other realtors who are in the trenches just like we are and understanding and seeing what they're doing for their clients and in effort to grow their business. So it's something, you know, obviously we're super passionate about it and, you know, we want to grow our business and something that we're super proud of. So any which way we can, you know, continue to develop that way is a great opportunity for us and something we're happy to learn about.
From the bright lights of New York City to the Golfy Awards at Club Roma earlier this week, tell us about the Golfies.
Yeah, so we have this award ceremony called the Golfies, and I believe this was our third annual one. And this was one of those projects that kind of started during COVID, and we wanted to host our own award ceremony similar to, you know, what you see on TV, the Oscars, the Grammys, and so on. And it was just an opportunity to recognize the achievements of our agents and our outstanding agents who had amazing performances from the year before. So it's a great night. We hosted it at Club Roma down in St. Catharines. They have a beautiful event theater there. It's like this all glass pavilion. It's a beautiful wedding venue, and event venue. And so we've hosted it there the last 3 years, and everyone gets all dressed up and wears their, tuxedos and suits and long gowns. And it's such a fun evening for the team and for us. And like I said, it's a great evening to be able to, recognize outstanding achievements from our agents. So it's something that, again, we're super proud of and we're super excited. And I think, from the team perspective, it's one of definitely one of our favorite events of the year. And people love it. And, when you're seeing somebody get an award it's fun. It's fun to recognize people and see their reactions and celebrate with them. So we're, something, like I said, something we're super proud of. And, this is an event that, it's one of those events that you look back on and say, well, why, what took us so long to come up with an event like this and why didn't we do it before? So, but it's an amazing award ceremony just for our team. So great times there.
Yeah. Kudos to the Golfy team for thinking of this. This is the epitome of a team building exercise, right? You're all in the same room. And in the early days of the pandemic, you're all virtually, but you're getting gussied up. You're happy to be there. It's an event that the whole team looks forward to. It's not that, oh, I got to be there. It's gotta be there. 'Cause I want to be there. That good on you guys.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Rick. And that's, that's the reaction we get. We make it this whole ceremony and it's amazing and people love it. So that's what it's all about. And, it's all about, growing the culture within our team and making this place, an amazing place to work. And I think we're doing a good job.
What's the most prestigious award at the Golfies?
Yeah, that's a good one. So it's the Golfy Award. So this is somebody who would, in terms of our core values and our mission and somebody who kind of embodies each and every single one of those and not to get into the weeds, but yeah, it's a prestigious award and it's actually peer voted, which is amazing. Nice. So the entire team would vote on this award and recognize the individual who kind of embodies our every single one of our core values. And, there's a big presentation and a big award. And, this year it went to a lady named Paige Athill who started with us, as an administrator and promoted her way up really quickly. And like I said, it was peer voted and she was recognized as it's the Golfy Award. So, congratulations to her and a little shout out to Paige and, she works her butt off here and everyone sees it. So she has a lot on her plate and, she thrives in this environment and she loves it. So kudos to Paige and, we're so lucky and we're so happy to have her. And, she just takes everything on with, kind of puts her head down and her nose down and, goes to work and isn't afraid of a challenge. And I guess that's what every company and organization needs is lots of people like that. And if you can find those people and pay them well, you're going to have a successful organization.
Yeah. Congratulations to Paige. I think everyone wants to know how many awards did Phil Golfy rack up?
None.
Oh, wow. What's going on,
Rick? I was the host.
Oh, okay.
So I was, I was hosting the ceremony and, unfortunately did not get my hands on any awards but it was fun. It was fun to be a part of the ceremony and fun to be a part of, handing them out and obviously seeing the reactions on everyone's faces when their name gets called is great. It's always a good time. So no awards this year, Rick. Maybe next year we'll see, but none for me this year.
It's good motivation for next year.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Just gotta keep on working, keep on going, and yeah. It's fun.
Listen, if you want me to host next year so you can win an award, I will gladly do that.
Do you get often? Like, I feel like you would be a great MC. Like, do people ask you often to go host events?
All the time.
Be an MC at a wedding. How's that?
All the time. I've in the past year, I've spoken at a police retirement dinner. I've done the wedding thing, the Golden Horseshoe Athlete of the Year, award presentation. So yeah, if you need someone, I'm available.
And that's pretty impressive, Rick. And what about before? You know, for me, I was a little nervous, right? I had some cue cards that were given to me. I had, you know, some direction that was given to me. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of people watching. Do you still get the nerves? Do you still get the butterflies? Because I had some.
I wouldn't call them butterflies. I would call them excitement. You know, excited to get the evening going, to knock it out of the park, to make people laugh, to make it interesting. It's that's what I get a kick out of.
Yeah, always good. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's, before we got a couple minutes left in this break, let's move on to our number one topic today, and that is a vacant unit tax in Hamilton. So starting in 2025, Hamilton's new vacant unit tax bylaw is going to come into effect. And long story short, this is going to require property owners to submit a declaration to the city at the beginning of each and every year regarding whether or not you have people renting part of your home, or whether it's a laneway home, whatever the case is. First blush, with a minute to kind of to tee up our first big segment coming up, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends what you're looking for. For the city, it's a massive revenue generator. But if you're going to look at this and say, oh, this is going to solve the housing crisis, and this is going to result in housing prices going down, you're mistaken. It's not going to have that effect. It's going to generate a massive tax revenue for the city in hopes to, you know, put that back into affordable housing. So I think that's the gist of it. But in regard to having an effect on lowering housing costs and prices, it is not going to do that.
We'll dive into this in great detail in our upcoming segment. We'll also talk about short-term rentals in BC and what they are doing in that province, and also why so many Canadians are furious at the federal government. It has to do with one of our favorite things, that being a tax. That's coming up next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Phil Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. Get a hold of the Golfy team today at 905-575-7700. If you're buying a home, if you're selling a house, call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. That is the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. The website is robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. And follow the Golfy team on Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and X as well. Let's get into Hamilton's new vacant unit tax bylaw. It's going to come into play in 2025. Non-exempt vacant residential properties will be charged 1% of the property's assessed value, which will be added to the tax roll and collected the same way as their property taxes. There are some exceptions. I mentioned non-exempt. Principal residences, owners of eligible nonprofit housing units, death of an owner, there's going to be some time for you to, you know, figure out what you're going to do with the property. Homes under renovation, and I think the stipulation is for at least a year, and sale of the property, or if the owner is in some kind of medical facility. And you're intimating in our previous segment, Phil, that this is going to be a big revenue generator for the city, but not necessarily is it going to have a huge impact on the availability of homes or the pricing of homes.
Yeah, that bingo. And that's and we've been kind of a follower in this position. We saw Vancouver be one of the early adopters of the vacant housing tax. And so we've been able to follow and go look at the trends in terms of how it affected them. And those were some of the effects that it had. It just set out to be a massive revenue generator for the city, which is, you know, great for them. And if they're going to use that money wisely and put that back into affordable housing for, you know, for Hamiltonians, then amazing. Then that could work. However, they're you know, when people look at this, it's like, okay, well, you know, inventory is going to increase rapidly and housing prices might come down a tick and there's going to be more options available. I just don't see that happening when it comes to this. Now, it's the 1% of the assessed value is substantial. That's a substantial amount across, you know, hundreds of vacant homes. It is. It's going to generate millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars in revenue. But it's going to be on the city to put these housing projects together and these affordable housing projects together to combat what's going on in our city. So, you know, I completely understand it. And I get it. And they're going to do everything they can to generate and raise revenue for these types of, you know, affordable housing solutions, but there's also going to be ripple effects of this. Number one, oftentimes, if you have a house that's vacant right now and you don't want to, you know, you don't care to do anything with it, and whether it's a long term project or maybe you're afraid of the landlord tenant board and you don't want to, you know, rent it out, you know, and if you have the ability and the financial capacity to keep a house vacant, will this affect you? I don't know, right? You know, will this make them kind of, you know, change their mind and decision in terms of what they're going to do with their property? Maybe. But one of the ripple effects that I've seen talked about is when a developer tries to piece together a development, meaning buying, you know, multiple properties, you know, neighboring each other to eventually build, you know, houses, this might have a ripple effect where it might prevent those types of long-term development projects. And we've seen it in the city where, you know, a developer will go in and buy six or seven houses and, you know, almost like your monopoly style of investing and hopes to put a larger development. And in the meantime, the houses will stay boarded up and you know, and eventually be torn down in hopes for a future development. These developers are going to have to pay much more in terms of carrying costs for those specific houses. And I think it'll affect them. I just hope it does not prevent those types of developments and those types of development projects. I mean, one of the big things that we've talked about all the time is, you know, build more homes and build more homes faster. We need development. We need more homes. We need these types of projects where developers will go in and buy, you know, five, six, seven properties all together and hoping to put a, you know, intensified project there. But you know, will this type of tax prevent that? Because they don't want to carry the you know, in terms of the vacant home tax. So that's one ripple effect that could happen. But in the end, it's going to be on the city in terms of what they're going to do with the money that is going to be generated from this. And you know, how effective are they going to be with it? So that's what it comes down to.
The one question I have too, among many, is the enforcement aspect of it. And being a bylaw, I would imagine that bylaw officers are going to go door to door in every neighborhood, knocking on doors to double check that you perhaps own, you know, another home and you're renting it out. I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah, how's it going to be enforced? And we talked about this, you know, very similar style to the Airbnb stuff. It's like, you know, do they have the capacity to be able to try and police this? No, you know, the short answer is no, I don't think so. So I think it's on the residents to making sure that they're upfront and honest with what's going on in their properties. And you know, there's going to be hefty fines if they do get caught and are lying on those programs. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I think it can be a really good thing for the city. But it depends in terms of what these, you know, what we're going to do with the money. I'm interested to know how many vacant homes there are in the city right now and what the numbers are on that. Because I think, you know, number one, it's going to clean up the neighborhoods. I truly, truly believe that it will clean up the neighborhoods. If somebody's sitting on a vacant property, this might be a reason to kind of get off the chair and go sell it and maybe sell it to an investor who's willing to come in and clean it up. So I do think it'll clean, you know, we can't have these decapitated properties in neighborhoods. And then, you know, they attract squatters and then it becomes, you know, not a safe place for people to live. Like, it's so, you know, there's a lot of good things that are going to come out of it. I do think it's going to push some people who are thinking of selling. This would be a reason to go ahead and sell it. And like I said, you know, get it in the hands of an investor to turn it around and develop it and renovate it and do those types of things. But it's in terms of the revenue generating income that this city will make from this would be tens of millions of dollars. And if they're going to use that and put it towards affordable housing, I just hope they do the right thing and they don't waste the money on projects that don't get off the ground, and they don't waste the money on, you know, bad projects. And it could really, really work in terms of generating tens of millions of dollars and creating affordable housing for Hamiltonians.
I think anecdotally, I've heard there's about 1,000 vacant units in the city. I'm not sure how accurate that is. But let me ask you this. How many vacant homes have you sold as a realtor? I would get, you'd probably count them on one hand, right?
No, we sell a lot of vacant homes, Rick. Tons. But the problem is, like, you know, vacant homes, right? Like, for example, somebody might move into another property and now their house is vacant, but it's only been vacant for a short period of time.
Right.
So it's very rarely will we walk into a house that's been vacant for, you know, 5 years or 10 years.
Yeah.
That, you know, very rarely happens. But in terms of homes being vacant, you know, someone might pass away and you know, the home's cleared out, it's vacant, and there's no one living there anymore and we're selling it, or, you know, perhaps there might be a marital breakup and both partners move out and the home's vacant and now we're selling it. So in terms of us selling vacant properties, we do it often. It happens often. But in terms of seeing a property that's been, you know, vacant for 10 plus years and neglected and, you know, the roof's caving in and the foundation's crumbling and the windows are rotted, you know, like you said, it's very, very, very rarely we see that. But in terms of properties being vacant, you know, we sell vacant properties all the time. And it's just, you know, in terms of living situations and things of that nature, you know, and there's a lot of people out there right now that are looking for vacant properties. Like, when I say vacant, I don't want to mean like the ones that, you know, are 10 years old and haven't been lived in. But there's some people out there right now who will only look at vacant properties because they need a 2 or 3 week closing and they need somewhere to go and somewhere to live in the next, you know, really quickly. And so they'll only be looking at properties that are vacant. So yeah, there's a market for that.
With this new vacant unit tax bylaw coming into effect in 2025 in Hamilton, are you expecting some or many or very few people to say, hey, Phil Golfi, I got to sell this thing. I don't want to pay this tax.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what, you know, the initiative is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to happen. It's going to happen for some people where, you know, you have this property, you just, maybe you inherited a property and you planned on renovating it and then selling it. And maybe you've just been by and cutting the lawn and keeping it up as you can, but you haven't done anything with it. Well, there's a lot of people out there who will not put a tenant in their house due to the landlord tenant board as it stands today.
Yeah.
And they would rather keep it vacant, and you know, not do anything with it. It's a sad situation, but that's the reality in the stage that we're at with what's going on with the landlord tenant board. So there's a lot of people out there like that say, hey, I'll keep this place vacant. I'm not getting caught with a bad tenant. And maybe when the market appreciates or when interest rates come down or when it's a better time to sell, then I'm going to put it up for sale and sell it then. But like I said, a thousand, I would say that seems like an accurate number in terms of vacant properties around the city, but it's going to be interesting to see what effect this happens. There will be an effect on it. It will push some people to sell their properties that they're sitting on. And I, like I said, I think that's a good thing. I think it's going to create a lot of renovation projects. I think it's going to create more inventory and more housing for people, but it's not going to have that dramatic effect that, you know, some people presume where it's, you know, housing inventory is going to increase and prices are going to stabilize and things like that. But I think there's a lot of positives that are going to come out of it. You know, and there's going to be some ripple effects that happen. I think the developers, not wanting to pay the taxes is a big one as they sit on, you know, land and properties. and kind of jump through the red tape that they have to get through to be able to get a development project off the ground. I think that's a huge one. But I think this is great, and I think it's going to all come back on the city to see what they're going to do with that money in terms of creating affordable housing for Hamiltonians.
Anyone listening right now who has a home that would be taxed under this vacant home tax bylaw that's coming into effect in 2025, give the Golfie team a call, 905-575-7700. Go online, robgolfie.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. Let's switch gears and talk about the capital gains tax changes that are coming in June of 2025. And this has some Canadians, maybe many of them, angry at the federal government. And the way this is going to work is any profit from the sale of, let's say, a stock or a cottage up to $250,000, you would be taxed at 50%. Anything over and above that $250,000 profit, that new tax rate is now 66.7%. So you can imagine a lot of cottage owners thinking, should we sell now and avoid this increase in capital gains? Phil, you guys taking any calls from this, or how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I mean, this is massive. This is groundbreaking. This is a huge topic of conversation within the walls of our office, and you know, in terms of speaking to our clients, we've gotten a lot of calls on this, and rightfully so. Right, this is gonna change a lot of portfolios and have a massive blow on a lot of real estate portfolios and recreational homes that people have and that people are holding right now. And I feel like it was kind of blindsided. Nobody really saw this coming. At least I didn't anyways, but it's, you know, the thing that's different is the government is almost suggesting that it only affects, you know, your top, you know, 0.001% of people, but it doesn't, Rick. This is going to affect a lot more people than you think, right? And let me just go through some stats here. 66.5% of Canadians own their own home. 10% of Canadians own recreational properties, and 4.4 million Canadians are investors in real estate and own more than one property. So this is going to affect those one-off, you know, sales, right? A lot of people are saying, well, you know, I don't make over $250,000 a year. I'm not that affluent investor who's doing this. But when it comes time to sell a property, there's a lot of baby boomer real estate investors who bought a property 25 years ago. They've held on to it. They've gained massive amounts of equity, and this has been their, you know, their number one kind of wealth builder or investment income. And then boom, all of a sudden that, you know, they're getting, you know, $100,000 ripped away from them just due to a increased capital gains tax. So it's going to affect a lot more people than we think, in more of a one-off sale case scenario. And that's what I see happening when you really dive into it, right? Like, the, you know, we're going to read about it, we're going to talk about it this year. It's not going to affect, you know, people this immediately, but when they go, you know, when they go to sell their property in 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, this is going to pop up and they're going to say, oh yeah, now it's affecting me. So I just think in terms of people, it's too late to try and jump ahead and try and make a sale happen and right before that deadline. But this is going to have a dramatic effect in terms of what people take home after they transfer, you know, after they sell a one-off sale and they're paying a lot more money to it.
Should cottage owners put that for sale sign on their lawn? I'll ask Phil that question when we come back on the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfie Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. My name's Rick Samprin. Pleased to be joined once again by Phil Golfie, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfie team. Call the Golfie team today. You'll be calling the number one RE/MAX team in Canada to get your home sold for top dollar, 905-575-7700 online at robgolfi.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. If you have a question or a topic idea for the Golfi team, send them an email, questions@robgolfi.com, and we will address it on a future show. That email again, questions@robgolfi.com. So back to this capital gains tax change that is going to come into effect June 25th. Any profit over and above $250,000 is now going to be taxed as of that date, 66.7% instead of the normal or former 50%. And some cottage owners are thinking, well, maybe I should sell now to avoid this tax. Wouldn't it be the smart play? I mean, if you're gonna be a cottage owner, you're gonna be a cottage owner. Wouldn't the smart play be to hold on to this asset? Because at the end of the day, the profit when you do sell is going to be greater anyways down the road.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, we're already seeing a lot of cottages be put on the market. A lot of people bought cottages in that COVID bubble when we weren't allowed to travel anywhere and get out of the country. And then once you see the increased interest rates, well, that's the first thing to go in terms of if people are, you know, paying too much for something that they don't want. It's, they sell the cottages, they sell the boats, they sell the RVs. So this is going to fall into that mix. And it's just another reason to get rid of a cottage that, you know, you're not happy with, or you don't use as much, or you're just, it's costing you too much money. So this is another great reason to sell. But the you know, who I see this affecting most in terms of the calls that I've received is, you know, I spoke about that baby boom investor. So me as a real estate investor, I started investing into 2017, 2018. And, you know, I'm not above that threshold of $250,000 on any of my properties. So it's not going to really affect me in terms of these one-off sales scenarios. However, you know, I work with a number of investors who are, you know, in their mid to late 60s and their early 70s. And, you know, they might have three or four properties right now, and they've slowly invested and accumulated real estate, and they've appreciated over the, you know, the last 20 years, 30 years, and have gained massive appreciation value, which would inherently, you know, be a result of capital gains. But it's amazing because, you know, this is their retirement. This is what they're going to, you know, depend on and rely on as they go through into this next stage of their life. And I think that's who it's going to affect most. And we work with a number of them. And, you know, I have a few clients, and they'll call me every single year, and they say, hey, I need to dispose of one property a year just for tax purposes, and so on. And this is a result, and this is a massive blow each and every single year to their portfolios. It's going to result in tens and thousands of dollars more in capital gains tax than they were initially, you know, hoping for or initially calculated for. So, you know, I look at my dad, I look at these other investors, and across a number of different properties, this is significant for them. And then you add the, you know, the cottage goers on top of that. It's significant. It is significant in terms of what's going on and what's happening. And to those people who saw this coming and, you know, were very proactive and were able to kind of react very quickly, it's very difficult to kind of put your house up on the market, especially cottage, with the amount of inventory up in cottage country right now. And, you know, it's rapidly climbing, but to be able to put your house up for sale right now and generate a sale and closing before the June 25th date would be, you know, pretty difficult to do. So it's, you know, a lot of upset Canadians with this. And like I said, it's going to, you know, it's just tough to see these real estate investors who put their hard earned money, hard work, into an asset, and just see, you know, tens and thousands of dollars be ripped away immediately due to a capital gains tax.
On the flip side, and we have a couple more minutes in this segment, I've seen a lot of comments online or social media from people who are saying, well, boo-hoo, like you have to pay more tax on a second home when so many people don't even have a first home.
Yeah, that's a fair argument for sure. But I think it's they created this wealth for themselves. They put their hard-earned money and hard-earned investment and sacrificed, whether it was vacations or sacrificed, you know, renovating their own personal home and putting in a pool or doing, you know, maybe sacrificed, you know, going out and buying a new car. Mm-hmm. Instead, they decided to create an investment avenue for themselves or for their kids, or, you know, whether it was to pay for their education or, you know, do something in that way. And it's, you know, unfortunately, Canadians feel like the harder they work, the more they're penalized. And there's just not that motivation in terms of, you know, wanting to go out and, you know, create better life and create more income to do whatever you want. And get that financial freedom, because it's the government's got their hands in your pockets and they're so deep in your pockets right now. It's been off-putting for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I understand both sides of it, but I see the amount of hard work that real estate investors put into their projects and put into their properties and the amount that they sacrifice right now, in terms of what's going on with these interest rates. There are people right now who are who are paying out of pocket and are underwater on investment properties, and they're sacrificing vacations and recreational activities to be able to carry an investment property that someone else is living in, that someone else is reaping the benefits of in terms of paying a low cost rent, and they're, like I said, they're sacrificing their own lives to hopefully invest for the future, whether it's retirement or what have you, their kids' education or so on. And you know, I'm talking to these investors every day and they say, you know, what's the point? Like, I can't get ahead. I'm trying to get ahead. I'm trying to create wealth. I'm trying to do something that's beneficial to my family. And, it just feels like, you know, the government's got their hands in their pockets, and there's not that motivation anymore. And Canadians are losing motivation. So
that's a good point. I can see how they can feel like victimized or penalized for trying to make some wealth for them and their family. We're going to talk a little bit more about trying to do that. But out in BC, and you might be surprised to learn what that province is doing in regards to short-term rentals. That's next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Last go around here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Phil Golfy, sales representative, REMAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. You can find them on the World Wide Web. RobGolfy.com is the website. That's RobGolfy.com. Contact the number one REMAX team in Canada on the good old-fashioned phone, 905-575-7700. Number one REMAX team in Canada is the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. And if you want to look at how the other side lives, or maybe you can afford a luxury property, go to golfyluxury.com and get ready to blow your mind. There's some amazing properties on golfyluxury.com. Speaking of luxurious accommodations, BC has some nice homes, but they also have about 19,000 homes listed as short-term rentals in that province. That is so much, too much, for the province's premier, who's now saying that we got to change the game in BC, and basically says, quote, if you're flipping homes, if you're buying places to do short-term rentals, if you're buying a home to leave it vacant, we have consistently, publicly, repeatedly sent the message, do not compete with families and individuals that are looking for a place to live with your investment dollars. They're really cracking down on short-term rentals in BC, Phil.
It's crazy. It's and that's a lot, right? That's a lot of homes that are short-term rentals, and it's a lucrative strategy to make a lot of money, right? We understand how BC is a great recreational vacation spot that offers a lot of lifestyle and outdoor activity, and people, you know, tend to go there looking for Airbnbs and not wanting to go into a hotel. So it's you know what, like, a part of me wants to say, why doesn't the government just leave it and the market would dictate itself, right? Like, if there's so many short-term rental properties, are there, you know, is there a market demand for that? Some people are going to go back to a long-term rental strategy just so they can have their place tenanted, right? I'm indifferent on this, but it's crazy how fast and how rapid the short-term rental market has taken off. And we've seen the laws, you know, in Hamilton change due to a very similar factor where they're, you know, they wanted to ensure that there was long-term rental options for people in the city. So yeah, it's crazy to see what's going on out there, Rick. It's going to be interesting to follow. And you know, it feels like every kind of, you know, city and municipality are going through the same struggles, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what their landlord tenant board is like. But if I were to guess and predict, I'm assuming it's, you know, similar to ours with the amount of people that are looking to get into short-term rentals. And it's funny how they try to avoid one problem and fix another, but you know, the root problem is that, you know, landlords feel villainized and they feel that they don't have an opportunity or an option to go with if they get caught with a bad tenant. And I think if they took a deeper, harder dive and look at the landlord tenant board process, there would be a lot more real estate investors out there looking to create an affordable rental option for families and to take on tenants, just knowing that they have the protection behind them in the event that they get caught with someone who isn't paying or someone who, you know, for lack of better terms, is a bad tenant. So it's difficult. You know, as a real estate investor myself, who was both in short-term rentals and long-term rentals, it's hard to see people be, you know, put in a very vulnerable position when they get caught with bad tenants. We've seen people sell their own principal property and uproot their family because they cannot get a tenant out of one of their rental properties. And I think, you know, that just kills me, because it's, like I said before in the previous segment, it's these people who are sacrificing a lot and hoping to build a better wealth, you know, build wealth for a better future, whether it's retirement or kids or what have you. And we do not have a system in place to be able to protect them from, you know, a person who's taking advantage of it, of the system, and not, you know, trying to live for free and not wanting to pay rent. So if we fix that and the government steps up and wants to fix what's going on with the landlord tenant board right now, you'll see it'll solve a lot of other housing issues. But instead we try to create these other programs, to solve a problem that's not there, or that wouldn't be there if we solved the main root cause of what's going on.
Yeah. And, no, you're exactly right.
So that's where I'm at on that.
This is going to start in BC May 1st. And basically how it's going to work is if you only will be allowed to have a short-term rental in your home, in your principal residence. If you have another property, you're either going to have to sell it or change it into a long-term rental space. And I mean, therein lies the debate. What do you do?
Yeah. And like, you know, I've seen a lot of people go from Airbnb and back to long-term rental and vice versa, right? A lot of people can, it's very easy to post a listing on Vrbo or Airbnb and turn it into a short-term rental. And it's very easy to go the other way and say, hey, you know, I'm open to doing a one-year lease. So it's, you know, the landlord, you know, has the cards to play with, but I think it's what system do they want to play in. And I think, like I said, the reason for the short-term rentals and the increase in short-term rentals is directly as a result due to them not being confident in the landlord-tenant board.
You can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for the Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform. Hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Awesome job, Phil, and thank you for listening to the Golfy Real Estate Show. We're back next Saturday at 9 on 900 CHML.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.